The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Well, we've heard of calls for various artefacts from the Parthenon marbles to be returned from museums to their country of origin. It was Ireland's turn this week with a call for the Mount Keith chalice and other Irish artefacts to be returned here. Well, we're joined by an expert in this area of repatriation, art crime professor Aaron Thompson. Aaron, you're very welcome to the programme. What are the kinds of things that people want returned from museums?
Thanks for having me. Really, that varies by culture, but something surprising, I think, that is held by museums that has most often been demanded in the last few years is actual human remains. There are really horrifyingly grisly collections of skulls and other burial artifacts that were collected oftentimes to show the supposed superiority of whatever culture was collecting them. And people want their ancestors back. Other than that, it's sacred objects used in worship or that were actually worshipped, and then, you know, just your normal everyday art sort of stuff.
Well, in Ireland, there was a case that's been running for quite some time of a man from the 1700s called Charles Byrne, who was 7 feet 7 tall. He had been part of a sort of a travelling show because of his incredible height. And his remains were essentially stolen and have been on display in a museum, the Hunter Museum in Britain, for some time. Now, they've recently said that they're going to, you know, no longer have them on display, but members of his family, his descendants, have said that they think he should be repatriated in line with what his wishes were. Is that a very unusual thing, or is that happening more and more?
That's happening more and more. And in that case, the museum said, well, they will still display those remains to doctors or those researchers who have a reason to see the remains, but not just for the general public. And it seems like a lot of museums are taking these, I would say, baby steps of compromise positions. But I think they're heading towards a much more radical realization of the need to return. So hopefully he will come home someday.
And Aaron, a lot of the focus is on museums, post-colonialism, things that happened, stuff that was taken, etc. But there are also, or are there, many artefacts in private hands, owned by the wealthy, ancient statues, whatever it might be, and they have no intention of parting with things they bought.
Well, maybe they do. For example, in the last few years, there's been a lot of publicity about stolen sacred artifacts from Nepal. And when those stories hit the news, my Nepali colleagues were contacted by a number of private collectors who had things that they just thought were souvenirs, were tourist objects. They didn't realize those were stolen and had been worshipped, and they are working to return them. So I think that's why it's important to spread the news, for everyone to, you know, look in their attic and think, gee, is this something that means a whole lot more to some other culture than to me?
And do you think, I mean, there might be wealthy people, you know, with swimming pools decorated around the sides with all kinds of ancient statues they haven't really thought much about?
Yes, I've heard cases of somebody had a garden statue that they didn't know should be back in India, and that's been repatriated within the last year. I gave a talk last year about a wealthy couple just outside of Chicago in the U.S., who had collected so much sacred art from India and Nepal that they lined their swimming pool house with it. And some of those pieces have recently gone back because, yeah, you know, maybe the Buddha should be back in a shrine and not necessarily in your deep end.
When you think of the debate around museums and repatriation, where do you draw the line? If it sort of continues in the direction it is, an awful lot of artifacts that should be where they belong will be returned, or they may not be returned. But, you know, how expensive or precious an item should be the cutoff point? Because otherwise, there are some museums in some of the great cities of the world would be practically emptied, I'd imagine.
Well, I don't think that's true. So if you look at the Pitt Rivers Museum in Oxford, they have for a long time been talking to source communities and essentially asking, do you want this stuff back? And a lot of times the source communities will say no, though they're happy that something has been preserved. They're happy that it's available for greater audiences, but they have other things they want to do. They'll come in, they'll say, oh, this is a great display, but could you hang this right side up? You know, you have it upside down. Or could we do a ceremony about this?
Obviously, then, some countries and some museums are taking it quite seriously. What countries do you think are the worst?
Well, then it's all hard to say who's the race of being the worst. I would say that the countries that have been the most reluctant to even consider returns have been Britain and France, and not surprisingly for former colonial powers who don't really want to give up those gains.
They have quite a lot of stuff. We'll have to leave it there. Art crime professor Aaron Thompson, thank you very much for joining us on the program.